Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Jen and Joe.
What is up, everybody?
Once again,
I missed you.
Another show. Yeah, I haven't seen you in like 10 minutes.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I was saying I miss the listeners, not you.
Oh.
I see you all the time.
I was going to say, we just...
We just ate. That's our favorite thing to do.
We always eat.
Stuff our faces because we're chunky. We're chonky.
Hey, I eat healthy. I had chonk. French onion soup and mac and cheese.
Fried mac and cheese. Deep fried mac and cheese.
Deep fried.
Just
adds
like you get
deep fried flavor.
Just like you get at the fair.
Yeah.
Joseph Dean.
Yes.
I have to tell you a story. The Ballad of Bubba.
The Ballad of Bubba.
Bubba Detroit. So, a long time ago in a city named Toledo, a young girl met a young man at a concert at a place called Headliners. It was The Cult was playing, which is like the best band in the whole world.
Now, was that the first night you met Bubba?
Yes.
Okay.
And he was wearing a hat that said Detroit on it. And I went, I like your hat. It was the 90s. What the hell? Or was it 2000? No, it was the 90s.
Know.
It was the late 90s.
That was a cool night.
It was great.
Cult concerts in a row.
I know. We went in Toledo and then we took a limo up and saw The Cult in
Detroit.
Where was that? Latin Quarters?
No, it was an old church, so it has to be
St. Andrews.
St. Andrews Hall.
Best band live if you ever get to see them. The man, those guys. I mean, they were probably, 20 years into their career at that point and just rocked it out. Crowd went wild. Jen went wild. And I snuck backstage at the second night. I took this guy to the concert because he was a huge Cult fan. He like has the whole Cult Electric album tattooed on his back.
Oh.
I haven't seen him in 20 years, probably since that night.
So
it was since that night.
So you met Bubba.
I met Bubba at the Cult concert in Toledo at Headliners. And I said, I'm going to the Cult concert tomorrow. And he's like, so am I. So I have one dude on one side and I have the other dude on the other side. The rest is history. We just started hanging out and he was really fun. He was big into the music scene in Detroit and had been since he was like a kid. He like saw Led Zeppelin at Cobo Hall and, you know, probably The Who at the Silverdome or whatever. You know, he was a big taper, so he always taped all the bands and probably still has every single
tape. He does.
Every single tape from every single concert that he ever went to, which is probably tens of thousands of concerts.
Yeah.
Not exaggerating. But through Bubba, we dated for a little while. And he was a sweetie, and I still love him, right? Like, he's still one of our great friends. We've been friends for probably, 20 years now?
Oh, it's getting there, yeah.
And, you know, through Bubba, he knew Dana Forrester, who is a good friend of ours. We play their music, her band's music, as our intro. She has a couple of bands that she's with or was with. 60 Second Crush was the band that we used to, like, all hang out. We'd all go to, like, Pittsburgh and, like, you know, tour with the band. It was really fun. And now she's in Dead and Five, Crud, and is there one more?
No, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. So, yeah, Bubba was just, like, a really, really fun. We always had a great time every time we went out. You know, we would meet up at the Woodward Dream Cruise every year because he moved to Arizona. And, he's just always just been a really good, true, loyal friend. He's just one of those really great guys who, you know, would give his arm and his leg for you and never ask anything in return. And, you know, Joe and I went out to Arizona and we had the best time. We visited Bubba and we went to an old ghost town.
Yeah.
And it was great. We had really fun. We went down in this like fake mine shaft.
It actually vibrated like you're going down.
Like 60 floors.
And then when you left, you just walked straight out this tunnel they had.
It was amazing, right? But no, you know, and.
But I remember the first concert we went to with Bubba.
Yeah.
Was 60 Second Crush at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh my gosh.
Back when Dana had blue hair.
Yes. The Rock and Roll, Cleveland Rock.
Yeah, we did that show twice, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Do you remember
show.
Meat Cannon? through a chair through the wall through the wall of our hotel room.
Yeah.
Bubba and I were staying. And he came in and destroyed our room, and Bubba was freaking out. So we took toilet paper and toothpaste and patched the wall up. Memories.
Yeah.
Like the corners of my mind.
So you're wondering, why are we talking to Bubba?
Yes.
We're talking about Bubba. We did a, I had a chance to sit down with Bubba and did a great interview with him. He talked about his UFO encounters and just really interesting.
Yeah.
And Bubba's a character. He is.
Always has been.
Yeah. So hope you enjoy the interview. We'll be back after the interview. So, very interesting. I ran into our good friend, Bubba. And we've mentioned Bubba on the show before. We've talked about you on the show, man.
Oh, thank you, man.
We're up here back in the Dead in 5 studio because Bubba's in town. It was supposed to be for the Woodward Cruise, but they're not having that this year. But he's going to go down and hang out down there anyways because he is the king of the Woodward Cruise.
Yes, I am, and I'm really glad to be here. I just got off the airplane, and thank you, Joe, for having me on the show, oh, man. Yeah.
It's great seeing you. I mean, some of our listeners know about you. We talk about Bubba out there in Arizona, and he got on an airplane and fought the COVIDs all the way here. He finally made it after the plane turned around twice.
Well, once.
Once to let a lady off. Who wasn't very happy to be on the plane, but he made it.
I'm here.
They fixed the plane with gaffer tape, and
you made it. True story. All right, I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
It's an open book here. But
oh, that's right. I forgot.
Before we get started, though, let our listeners know your choice of Michigan brew that you have in your hand.
Oh, well, we started a little beer tasting prior to this, and there's a Shorts brew. It's called... Bel Air Brown. It's a classic American brown ale. And it's got a unique taste to it. It really does. It's a wonderful Michigan beer. And then we got a Red Jacket. It's out of Keweenaw
Peninsula.
Yeah. Sorry, couldn't pronounce it. That brewing company. And it's a red beer. It's a Red Jacket. And these are very good Michigan beers, and I'll tell you what, you guys have no idea how lucky you have it here in this town with all this beer you got going on in Michigan. It's gone, the whole thing has exploded here.
And you have a little bit of history with beer, don't you?
A little bit. A
little bit, yeah. He's the owner and procurer, how do you say that, of the Scottsdale Beer Museum.
Yep, Scottsdale Beer Museum it is.
Some awesome bands have played there.
Yeah, we've had a lot of bands play and stay.
Yeah.
Sometimes this is what will happen. You know, a band will be on tour, and if I really like them, I'll come and approach them after at the merch booth and see if how they react to me, if they're really cool and stuff. And so I ask them if they have a place to stay.
Yeah.
And some of them say no. And I go, well, hey, I got a beer museum, and I got a pool and everything, and you guys can come stay at my house for free if you want. And a lot of people have taken me up on it.
Yeah.
We've had bands from Scotland, from Spain, from United Kingdom, all over the U.S. have stayed at my house. It's kind of weird. It's like a free bread and breakfast for a band or something.
Yeah, for bands. Because we know that when bands are on tour, everybody thinks, it's so awesome to be on tour, the hotels, all that, but it's not really like that. You're sleeping in your van, or if the concert hall gets you a hotel, it's usually not that nice. So it's a good thing that you open your house to the bands and allow them to just stay. And just
well, the way I look at it, if I help some of these bands out, and they will be able to come back through Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
They will come back because they have enough money. I might have saved them $300 or whatever, but they will come. That's my hope, that they'll come back.
And they appreciate it.
Some of the bands, they see the beer museum. and they go back out to their van or whatever they're in, their bus, and they grab their equipment and come and play inside the museum because they think it's so cool.
Yeah.
So I've seen some private one-of-a-kind performances there, which is cool to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It brings them back to the roots.
Yeah.
You know.
We've had some national bands come through. We had Nick Turner's Hawkwind. Hawkwind's from England, and it was a band that Lemmy from Motorhead was in for a while. And they've come and stayed three times at my house.
Yeah.
Then I've had another band. They're out of Nashville. And I'm not swearing, but their name is Nashville Pussy.
Yeah.
And they've stayed a couple of times, and they're really cool.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our listeners are going, dude, man, you're talking beer, you're talking bands. This show's about the paranormal. What the heck? But Bubba's got some history. And you were having trouble pronouncing the name of the town that you were talking about.
Heber? Heber, where's that? I'd have to look it up.
All right.
Heber.
Heber. I got it now. Okay.
She knows. Heber. Was that Alexa or whatever? She knows. So what went on? I know that you had some
This was so weird. Okay, my friend Red, he threw a music festival way out in Arizona. And Red was in his real name is Andrew Red Johnson. And he's in a band right now called Spafford.
All
right. And they're really good. They're getting big. And I think at the time he might have been in a band called Bad Shoe, but he threw this music festival. So I went up there with my girlfriend at the time, and we set up our tent, and everything was cool. We enjoyed the music, right? And the night, it was a couple of nights, the festival. One night I looked up in the sky and I saw something. And I went to my girlfriend, I go, I saw something. She goes, you've been drinking, whatever. But it was when we first got there.
Yeah.
So she blew it off and everything. We got to the end of the festival, and we were some of the last people camped there. And I woke up in the morning, and I was the first one to get up. And I went out by the picnic table, and you get this human sense that something's watching you.
Yeah.
And I got it, and I was like, wow, is there a mountain lion or a bear? I'm looking all around going, what the hell? And I was getting kind of scared. And then the tent unzipped. And my girlfriend came out and she screamed.
Yeah.
And she goes, Baba, what is that? And I went, oh my God, what are you talking about? I'm looking around for a bear or whatever. And she's pointing in the sky. And I looked up and I went, oh my God. It was like God created a perfectly round pinball that was in the sky.
Yeah.
And I go, whoa, what is that? Because it was windy out and the trees were moving from the wind, but this thing was sitting there perfect, not even moving. And I go, that's not a weather balloon. And my girlfriend, she goes, that is a weather balloon. I go, no, it isn't a weather balloon because it's not moving.
Yeah.
So I go, all right, if it's a weather balloon, then I'm going to try to get up underneath it and look at it. So I was like running down this area, and I tried to get as close as I could to underneath it. And when I finally did, I looked up, Joe, and it looked like the reflection of the earth from the Apollo mission.
Oh, really?
Picture. If it was a weather balloon, I would have just maybe saw that little area I was in, or maybe a mile. I saw the whole earth, and it scared me.
Yeah.
And I came running back. By this time, my friend Gary Clinton, he's a guitar player, he was videotaping. And I go, are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? And they're like, yeah. And we go, I was scared.
Uh-huh.
So I start tearing down my shit like you wouldn't believe. And out of the corner of my eyes, I'm always watching it, and it's not moving. It's not moving. So all of a sudden, we get almost all packed up, and this pickup truck comes pulling down the road fast like you wouldn't believe and kind of locks it up. And I'm like, oh, we're getting a trick played on us. These are the guys. This dude jumps out. The other dude jumps out. One comes over to me. He goes, are you seeing what we're seeing? And I go, yeah, I think that's a UFO. He goes, yeah, we saw it from a mile down the road. We've been coming down here like you wouldn't believe to see it. And we left and left those guys there. And then when we went down this dirt road, we went to get to the highway, and I was looking at it the whole time out of the side of my eyes because I knew it was a UFO, but I was told it was a weather balloon, which it wasn't. And all of a sudden disappeared.
Just like that.
Yep. And then about a year later, I'm at my friend's bar. It's called the Sail Inn. It was in Tempe, Arizona, right? I used to go there and see bands all the time. I was standing there, and this dude comes up and walks up to me, and he gets right in my face and goes, do you know who I am? But I know a lot of people in Phoenix, I mean, so sometimes...
You know people all over the world, for God's sake.
I know, so sometimes I don't remember their name, and I go, no, I don't remember. He goes, did you see a UFO in up north Arizona? I said, yeah. He goes, I was the guy in the pickup truck.
Awesome.
And I went, are you kidding me? And I went, really? I go, where are you from? And he said, Rochester Hills, Michigan.
Oh.
And that's where I grew up from 1979 to like 82.
So did they put you two together for some reason?
We started talking.
Yeah.
He grew up in a subdivision right across the Tinkin Road from me. A place I used to go out and look at snapping turtles in the pond and stuff. That's where he grew up. So it was weird that we made this friendship. And we found out he knows all my friends. And he works on guitars sometimes for national acts. He repairs guitars. Yeah, his name's Bernie. And we found out he went home one Thanksgiving, and he called me up.
Yeah.
And he's at home at King's Cove off Tinkin and Livernois in Rochester Hills, Michigan. And he found a... shoe box full of his ticket stubs.
Oh, okay.
So he got out his ticket stubs and started naming off stuff like Judas Priest at Joe Louis Arena. I go, yeah, because I have all mine in order. Uh-huh. I go, yeah, I was at that. So he would name off. He's like, I was in section 123. I was like, I was in section 110. So we became really good friends. But to this day, he'll tell the story too. Mm-hmm. What we saw, we don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never looked into the sky and saw something like that before.
A reflection of the whole earth.
Yep.
And, you know, is it possible that they put you two together for some odd reason? You never know.
I don't know. We've been talking. We're thinking about starting a band of all Michigan people that live in Arizona. Yeah, it was one of my ideas. It's something that we're working on right now. I just bought my first electric guitar. I just bought a Gibson Les Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And Bernie's in a band right now called The Harvest, and they're doing really good. And Bernie's really good on guitar, really, really good. Yeah, he became a very close friend of mine from a UFO sighting.
Yeah.
You know, I saw another UFO.
Okay.
I was in a town called Bisbee, Arizona.
Okay.
Bisbee's a really unique town, and I had to go home to go to work. So I had to go home at 5:30 in the morning while the sun was kind of coming up.
Yeah.
So I'm going down this road. I'm all by myself. And all of a sudden, I look over at the side of Bisbee. And it looks like the Goodyear blimp is there. And I go, wait a second. They don't have blimps here. Something really weird. And I go, whoa. I got out my camera and I videotaped it. I actually stopped my car, videotaped it. And it was huge. And it disappeared.
That's what they say. They say that they just blink out.
Yep. So that's the second UFO I saw. The third one?
Yeah.
I was in Tempe, Arizona at McClintock and University Road. There's a power plant there. This huge power plant. And I was with the same girl I was talking about, Nan, and same guy, Gary Clinton, and Tim. And we saw something... above the power plant, the kind of look, the only way I could describe it is it looks like that Predator movie.
Yeah.
See-through.
Uh-huh.
It looked like a little triangle see-through thing, like a hologram.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it first. And they all go like, oh, Bubba, you're seeing UFOs again. I go, nope, check this one out. And then we think we saw a third one. So I've probably seen three UFOs. Yeah. There's other stuff I've seen that I can't describe in Arizona that's like been weird.
Yeah, Arizona's a hotbed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Just like Michigan is for beer?
Yeah. Jerome, Arizona. You've been there many times. We've been there. That's a hot spot also. People sit in Jerome and watch the UFOs because of the way the Jerome sits on that hill, or even if you guys call it a mountain or that, but Jerome's on the side of the hill. It's perfect advantage over the valley to see the UFOs.
Yeah, one time we pulled up to Jerome. I've camped out kind of like in that field that you know of that's next to the haunted...
used to be the hospital, but now it's a hotel.
Yeah, right there. My friend lives near there, and she lets me camp out on the grounds right there, and we're camping out. But one time I came up here, and it was came up to Jerome, and we got to her house, and there were wildfires.
Oh, yeah.
And you could see them way off in the distance. It looks like hell coming at you. Yeah. It's like this red glow. It is scary, man. I'll tell you what, the fires in Arizona, they're scary.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jerome, Arizona is awesome. I've been there a few times, or one time when I came out and saw you. Me and Jen came out. We went over to Jerome, hung out, went to the ghost hunts. It's cool, man. We're definitely getting back there. When we do, we got to grab you on the way. But Jerome, I just found out that a lot of the people that live in Jerome are from Detroit.
Yeah, there are. Yeah. That's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of an Ann Arbor up on a hill.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little bit, I guess.
Or... it's a cool little town, but
so it's a, like old hippie town. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. And it's haunted. The whole town is super haunted.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When I was there's a mine shaft. And you can walk on the mine shaft and look down and see the hole. And it's probably 14 inches around, maybe. And you can stand there and they say it's 1,500 feet down. Don't know. Because, the only lights up down 10 feet or so. I was standing on that and it felt like somebody reached up out of the shaft, reached up and grabbed me and was trying to pull me into the shaft. And I freaked out a little bit. And I'm like, Jen. And I couldn't get off the little platform. And then I stepped off but it was like, it actually felt like someone reached up and grabbed me and was trying to pull me down into the shaft.
Wait a second. Something did happen to me in Jerome.
Yeah.
I went into this, like, it's some kind of Mary's hamburger, haunted hamburger or something like that. When I walked in, the glasses fell that were all, you know how sometimes you go in a fancy bar and the glasses are all up above the bar?
Yeah.
And one just went smashed. And Lee looks over at me and goes, that never happens here. And I went, uh-oh. And I think I immediately exited on and, I forgot about that, though. Yeah, I've had many good times there in Jerome, Arizona. Yeah. That's a very unique town.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that town.
If, listeners out there want to go to an authentic haunted location, Jerome's it, man. It's worth the drive. But so what's your opinion on Bigfoot? Is it a little dude inside a suit?
No, I was telling Joe earlier, a friend of mine at work, thinks that Bigfoot is a little tiny alien in a suit. And the reason he's in the suit is because he's so little and he wants to scare us. I know, that's far-fetched. That's not my opinion. I'm just telling you his opinion.
We honestly don't know what Bigfoot is, so it could be a little dude in a suit. And you always, Bigfoots and UFOs go together anyways.
The only thing I think about Bigfoot is supposedly... I don't know if it's the Bering Strait or we're over near Canada and Russia used to be connected.
Yeah.
And like cavemen came across or like Indians came across.
Yeah.
And they had a tall dude, hairy dude with them, like an animal.
Yeah, a lot of the giants.
And so, like giants or something. So maybe, just maybe, he's out there, but he's got to be near extinct. And I would hate if someone would ever to kill one.
Oh, I know.
That's my biggest fear.
One of the big things that people talk about is hunters will see Bigfoot and they'll raise their gun to shoot him and they can't. They either say he's too human. It's like they're used to shooting animals. They raise their gun, they see this Bigfoot thing and they actually freeze because he's too human to them. Or I've heard also in situations where the hunters would go up to shoot them, and they can't shoot them because they freeze up. They can't move.
Wow. I wonder if there's a way to feed them.
I've heard stories. You know, they're all stories, but yeah. I've heard stories of people that know they're on their property, so they actually feed them different things.
I mean, if they were friends with the Native Americans, why don't we try somehow to do that? Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know.
You know, I've heard a story about a lady that used to make bundt cakes for one and feed the Bigfoots.
One time I was camping in Arizona,
mm-hmm.
and it was near the Palo Verde River, and I thought I heard wood knocks.
Yeah.
But it was actually almost sounded like aluminum tent stakes. But no one camps way out where we're at.
Oh,
and
really?
It was the middle of the night, and it was going, tsh, 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 tsh. And I was like, whoa. So I started doing some wood knocks back. It was weird. I don't think it was humans that were way out there. There was another time, we're camping in the tent, right?
Uh-huh.
And I thought a human went to the bathroom in the tent. Because I heard it.
Yeah.
And then I smelled it. And I was like, oh, my God. They went to the bathroom in the tent. It smelled like human urine.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. They were totally asleep. Something was outside our tent that took a piss?
Yeah.
Whatever animal it was took a piss. It could have been a coyote.
Okay.
It could have been a mountain lion. That's what I was really scared of.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Could have been Bigfoot. I mean, we were way out there,
mm-hmm.
way, way out there, man.
Yeah.
You had to camp in. I've been on a couple camps where you have to come in and carry your whole backpack. Mm-hmm. No electricity.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's not easy in Arizona because sometimes it can be 114 degrees out. Yeah. So to even have a Bigfoot survive that would be hard.
But, well, if they adapt.
No, if they find caves is the deal.
Yeah. Because I do know some people that live out towards Arizona, maybe a little farther west, but I know that she wrote a book about her dad's adventures, and then she took over the book when he passed away, and she was telling me that Bigfoots live in caves, and she goes and visits one that she can actually hear him underneath her pounding on the top of the cave.
Let's hope they don't mate.
Yeah. I don't know if they did or not. Be one little foot and one big foot.
Could name it Bubba Foot.
Bubba Foot. So, all right. Before I let you go, though, I want to tell you a little story about what happened in this room.
Oh, man.
We had Nix on our last show, and him and his wife were in town, and we were out on the boat together, and we were down in the same room. And as we're recording, we're sitting here talking about how much energy it takes for ghosts to move things. And this guitar case here actually moved about, I'd say, 6 inches and banged against the wall.
Uh-oh.
So there's...
And you got me sitting down here?
Uh-huh. That's why I wanted you down in the room.
You know, I do... I think Bigfoots are cool, UFOs, and... But when it comes to ghosts, Bubba's out of here.
Yeah. So Bubba is out of here. Thanks for coming on. Like I said, it's great to have you back in town, hear a little bit of your UFO stories. And I know that you've had a lot of encounters with different UFOs and stuff, but thanks for sharing the three.
See you guys next time, eh?
All right.
What an interesting take on like his personal experiences with UFOs. So interesting.
We were out on the boat, and he started talking about it. I'm like, we got an interview. I've got to interview you. And Dana was like, well, we're walking the dogs. Why don't you guys go in the basement and down in the studio? And
that's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you missed it.
Yeah.
But we had fam. I had to take care of Lulu. But anyways, no, that's really kind of mind-blowing about the see-through.
Yeah.
UFO craft.
Yeah.
Because I've never heard of one that you could detect it out, but you could see through
mm-hmm.
it, which is really interesting, kind of in the interdimensional type realm of spaceships and crafts. I would love to go back. Arizona, Roswell, hot spot, you know?
Well, that's like I said back when we in the interview about Jerome, Jerome's on the side of a mountain. So you can just sit there in front of a store or whatever and look up in the sky. And it's so vivid because you're in the desert and the sky is so bright with at night with stars.
Yeah. You know, I really love that little town. It was a lot of walking. It's on the side of a mountain. So if you go, make sure you wear very comfortable shoes. Learn my lesson.
We've said it before. It's like road building. It's they're one-way streets because it's literally a road, the building, the road above the building, and then another building, and then a road above that building.
You know how I am with like heights and stuff, but I don't know if I could live in those houses. They're just like so high up in the mountains, and it's like there's very like tall and skinny houses, like row houses. That's what I kind of want to say. But, you know, some of the things there are kind of like leaning. Did you notice? Remember that old jail that it was kind of really decrepit and there's just like three walls up.
Yeah.
It's all like leaning sideways. I'm like, dude, one good little tiny earthquake and that thing's coming down. But, you know, Joe and I loved Arizona, and it's just such a great place because there's so many different things you can do there. You can look in the skies for UFOs. There's a ton of ghost hunting. You can go gold mining. You can go to the crater. What was it?
Meteor Crater. Yeah, if you're out in Arizona, it's a long drive. Don't believe the GPS when it tells you it's only an hour. But you got to go through Flagstaff, and then it's outside of Flagstaff, but probably –
I'd say, outside of Flagstaff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a long drive, but look it up on Google. It's so interesting because when you look at it, it's a mile-wide crater caused by a meteor. I mean, it's a literal crater like you see on the moon. Now, look at it on Google Earth. Go out 1 mile, all of a sudden the thing just disappears. That's how huge, when you look at the moon, how big the craters are on the moon. You don't realize that.
Yeah, they have like this observation desk, and you look out over it. And there's this teeny tiny little thing, like station. And it's like, that's like a little building down there. And there's like little ant people walking around. I'm like, man, this thing is ginormous.
And that's, you know, and that impact, you would think, well, it's just a giant mile wide hole. It must have made all the animals extinct. No, that didn't do it.
Wow.
You know, the one that did it was like 10 times as big as that.
Wow. It was just really interesting. And I wonder too, if you have like a meteor impact, does that attract UFOs because they're maybe seeing this? Like what is this strange circle? Well, is this a calling card?
I think they would know, but it might be a easy point for them to see.
Yeah. Arizona, hot spot.
It is.
There's also this place. This is not paranormal related, but if you go to Arizona, Joe and I didn't get there, but we're going to get there. It's called Slide Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this super, super slippery rocks. And it's almost like a water slide, but it's a natural river. And you just slide on your bum all down the rocks in the water. And it looks so fun. Cool off from the hot desert.
Yeah. But who else but Bubba to see UFOs? Because he does a lot of the music venue or the, what do you call them?
Concert.
Festivals.
Yeah, festivals, concerts. He's outdoors all the time. You know, it's like when you live in that kind of environment, you want to go outside all the time. Remember he took us to that park that there was a big rock with the hole in the middle? There's like this big outcrop, I guess you would call it.
I don't know what you call it.
It was just like this giant like rock. It was huge. And we climbed up into the middle of it. And I'm scared to death because like, you know, you're literally climbing.
People have fallen off the thing.
Side of the rock. And I'm like, I am going to wipe out. But we did it. And the sun was setting. And that
there's
was
a lot
really,
of photos.
Really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of photos of that with the sunset inside that hole. And it's when I say hole, you're talking you could fit a house in this thing. It's huge.
Yeah.
But the people have fallen off this thing because if you go out a little bit, it just goes straight down to the ground.
Yeah, it's a total drop off. It's crazy. But, you know, that is such a unique state. You know, you have so much nature out there. You know, there's places you can go and there's no street lights and you could see a billion stars, you know, like that is what it's amazing.
That's why I want to go back out there.
Yeah. But
plus the ghost hunting, we've mentioned Jerome many, many times, but it's the most haunted city that we know of. One besides of New Orleans and
Gettysburg.
Yeah, so I guess not.
No, but it is. It's just, I'm just wonder why it's such an attraction for the UFO phenomenon. Ba-da-ba-da-da. Starting with the Roswell crash. I'm wondering, is it because of the military?
Could be, or is it Area because it's 51? So desolate? I don't know.
You don't know.
Well, I would imagine Area 51 has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm. But who knows? I mean,
I just wonder, is it the material in the earth? Because, you know, like where we're at, we're what? Limestone.
Limestone.
Mostly that. Limestone. But out there you got copper, you got ore. You know, you have those like harder metals. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that attracts.
You have a lot of vortexes out there too.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, we didn't even get to that.
Yeah. We've mentioned it many times on the other show.
Yeah. But
and notice I said many twice on this show. I don't know.
I don't know. But no, we really, you know, appreciate Bubba sharing his adventures with us. It's always interesting to get a firsthand account of somebody's UFO encounter because it's almost unbelievable, but it happens. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people are afraid to talk about it sometimes because they think people are going to think they're cuckoo, but that's why you listen to this show.
That's right.
This is the best paranormal show ever.
No judgment zone here.
That's right. We support you. We understand. Anything else, Joe? What else? Whatever.
I do want to mention, thoughts? We've mentioned a few times on the show about the podcast awards, and I've got a ton of emails saying that nobody can vote.
Oh, no.
Every time they try to vote, it says password invalid, bunch of other stuff.
Sounds suspicious.
So I did some digging on it, and I don't understand it at all. I talked to a few other podcasters that are nominated in different categories, and they said the same thing, where all their listeners are trying to vote, and nobody can vote. So I have no clue how this is going to work.
Oh, no.
And, yeah, so if you tried to vote and you couldn't get in, you're not the only one. Yeah. I even tried.
We apologize.
I tried under a couple of different emails, and none of them went through. Every time I typed in even to sign up, I typed in and it said invalid password.
Bummer, because we really wanted to win.
Well, we still might win, but I don't know how.
Yeah.
Because it's not letting any of our listeners vote. So who knows?
Let's protest.
Yeah.
Let's get cardboard signs and march down the street.
I emailed them. I'll see what they say.
Okay.
But I guess they're going to pick 5,500 random emails and have them vote for shows, even though how do we know they even listen to the shows that they're voting for?
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense at all. So anyways, if anything changes and I figured out how you guys can vote, I'll let you know. But right now, don't even bother. And but I know I'm going to talk to this guy when we go to PodFest because he's one of the big wigs at PodFest that runs it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to ask him straight out, what's the deal, dude? Because I've talked to a few of our friends that are paranormal podcasters, and they said the same thing. None of their listeners are being able to vote.
Well, that's not fair because you got to vote for the paranormal podcast.
Yeah.
The two. But thank you, whoever did try.
Yeah.
We really appreciate your efforts.
And we won't bug you to buy a t-shirt. So everybody else that didn't vote, go up to our website and buy a t-shirt.
Yeah, we got some really cool t-shirts. We got some 222 masks now. So we got leggings.
Leggings.
I need some. I'm just going to have to buy my own. And all kinds of really fun, like, saying t-shirts. I made some really cool paranormal ones. So, guys, if you're into that kind of thing to support the show, it's a great way that you can show us your support
because
we're here for you every week and we're listening to you as you listen to us.
Yes, we're listening to you.
Let's listen. No.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody for listening.
Right.
And as we mentioned in the beginning of the show, let's listen to some 60 Second Crush, Destructive.
Woo! My favorite. All right, guys. Have a good week.
Goodbye.